happy Pride Month?
Yes.
Pride year?
Whole month.
Oh my. It's a whole month. You know, I feel like it started off as like one day and then it made its way into a week and then a month. And then there's like LGBTQ history and all the different stuff.
I think it did. And I think I was actually talking with a friend about this recently and I was like, you know what? Forget it. Let's just scrap all the holidays. All right. Let's just scrap all of them. And then let's break down our 365.25 days or whatever it is into percentages. You know, we've got maybe 3 to 5% global LGBTQI plus. So you can have 5% of calendar days. If we need to break these into hours, let's do it. Then we can have the heterosexuals. I mean, let's give them all their own, like their only time. You know, they're always complaining that, you know, we have the entire month because the rest of the year is just all for you guys. I'm like, you know what? I missed those holidays. I don't know where being a cisgender heterosexual. I don't know when I'm supposed to celebrate that. Not in June.
Yeah, definitely not in June. I think it's very interesting when the argument's made, like, this is the only time where we don't face any discrimination, which is not true, because I feel like the country as a whole tells you that if you don't accept anyone who's LGBTQ plus IA 59678, you are the bigot, you are the homophobe, you are the transphobe. So I'm not sure where this is coming from, but Pride Month is an opportunity to have all the rainbows, to have all of the events, to have all the Instagram posts, to have all of the brands changing their logos to not just rainbows now.
Sorry, only the American brands. If you go if you go check on a lot of the Twitter ones, if you go, although Disney's already not rainbows, by the way. I just checked it the other day and it's not rainbows already. Shame on you, Disney. We're not even 10 days into this and you already gave up. But I remember last year it was pretty bad. It was just the amount of Twitter profiles you could find that were, as far as it was like the main one or America, yes. If it was in India, if it was in China, or if it was in any of these other just culturally more cult or more conservative countries, absolutely no rainbows.
Exactly. So
guys, you're a product to them.
Yes.
That's I think if anything, that, you know, it's like we can
if
have
you
our
get
fundamental
nothing out of this podcast.
We can have our fundamental disagreements on your lifestyle. And you know what? At the end of the day, as far as I'm concerned, you can live the life that you want. Just stop trying to indoctrinate kids so early and just stop that. But also, if you can't be a part of a religion or any particular type of, I don't know, ideology maybe or whatever it might be, it's normally religious groups, you can't be gay and be Muslim. They won't let you.
Yes.
Jewish, Christian, etc.
Yeah.
Like, it's just it's inherent kind of in the rules of what they have to abide by. Just like, I can't consider myself a Jew and eat pork. It's a no. Can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take the Sabbath on a Saturday, and you have to take, like, there, it's just, it's fundamental engagement to that particular religion. And that's kind of where I draw the line. It's like, well, you can't be this. And look, it's not just anybody that has that type of lifestyle. There's lots of other things in the Bible and the Quran and all these other ones that you can't do and then call yourself a devout follower.
Yeah,
so that's kind of where my breakaway is. But if there's anything you guys can take away from this, it's that the corporations are pandering to you guys because you're just a product to them.
Yeah, no, it's just another way to make money.
And I don't like that on any level, that they're just like, oh yeah, rainbows here, but not in China. You know, it just, what was it? Star Wars, Force Unleashed. That's the game. Force Awakens.
I don't keep up with Star
okay,
Wars.
Okay, so Disney's infamous for this poster because Finn, who is black, is one of the, I would say, like, he's the main side character for sure. You have Rey and then you have Finn. Kind of the main two characters. In the American poster, he's like front, center, nice big picture on the poster. China, not there. He's gone. He's not even in it. And then Black Panther, China's version of that, because they're racist, Black Panther has his hood on the whole time. You don't know he's black. Like, I don't know how they hide that for the entire movie, but
I would be so
all
curious.
Of those posters they messed with as well. So it's like, it more than anything, even if we are politically, ideology, theologically, if we're at odds in all of these areas of thought, but you're still getting taken advantage of because they're just pandering to you to make you feel good and to get you to buy their products, that pisses me off more than anything. And I don't want to see people getting taken advantage of by corporations like that.
Yeah, no, they're getting taken advantage of. I think it's because they so desperately want to embrace their sexuality as their full identity as a human being. And so brands will now change their logo, not just to a rainbow, but they're now horrendous, hideous designs, trying to put the trans flag and the rainbow.
Wait, China flag. Did?
No, just brands in general.
Okay.
Because
I thought you just said China did, and I was like, no, they did not.
Because LG, what's happening is not LGBTQ plus IA, you know, XYZ minus sign. They now have to include transgenderism, and so now we have a horrible clash of colors.
Which is
so
odd, because I feel like transgenderism kind of undercuts the first like three letters.
Certainly does, which is, I think we're going to end up seeing conflicts fairly soon.
I'm waiting to see it break
community.
Apart, actually.
Well, I mean, we might see it break apart. I think that the one thing we have learned, especially from Glenn Youngkin's win in November of 2021. Oh my gosh, that was last year. Okay, so November 2021 was that parents are one of the groups that are untapped and that everyone seems to forget about. Like, oh, parents don't matter. They do. Mm-hmm. Because what we have been seeing for Pride Month is that they will take every opportunity, as you've already mentioned, with sexualizing kids, they'll take every opportunity to sexualize kids. We were actually in Atlanta, I think this was last year, and we were in this giant shopping area, which I thought was actually really cool, and they had a drag queen story hour. And it seems like more of these are starting to make the rounds, it's not just drag queen story hour now. Like, this is the thing that's funny to me. They used to just have them, like, reading books, you know, like, okay, a drag queen reading books. Now it's gotten to become more. We are seeing more things happen, and we're going to look specifically at Dallas. If you have not heard, wait, why is that? That's a weird ad. Okay. So there is a Dallas bar called Mr. That held an event that was called Drag the Kids to Pride Drag Show. The organizers, this is according to a local article, the organizers called it a family-friendly spinoff of their champagne drag brunch that would allow kids to dance with performers on stage. Now, we're not necessarily going to show the clips. One, I couldn't even watch them because they were so disturbing. Now, if you think about a family-friendly drag show, maybe they would be wearing, you know, a bag to be family friendly, but no, they're wearing bondage like outfits. That's scantily fun. Clad with a sign in the back that says it's not going to lick itself, if that gives you any indicator about this family friendly event. And so they have taken Pride Month as an opportunity to indoctrinate and sexualize your kids. But wait, there's actually something that's more atrocious about this. I am getting there. Talking about how much parents care, I think that, and this might be maybe the most extreme thing that I could say, but I think that every parent in that room should be charged with child abuse. Every parent that took their child to this event should be charged with child abuse, because this is over-sexualizing. Kids have to watch this. They even said that you are dragging the kids to Pride. It's not like they're being happily put there. These dancers are dancing with them on the floor. They're interacting with these kids. And these are overly sexualized men that are characterizing women in a very weird way that is super ugly and gross. So,
why aren't there any drag kings there?
So, that would be a woman dressed like a dude.
Yes. I never see them. Not in the drag sense.
Would you like to see more of them, or?
I think they're lacking representation.
Agreed.
It's unequal.
And that is another topic on the table about drag kings that we can talk about later. But this is one of the events that has been making the rounds over, I guess, everywhere. And it's got me super up in arms. You know, you might expect drag queens to be drag queens, but for all these parents that clearly do not care about their children, who have been so manipulated and used, they should have their children taken away from them. My two cents on that.
Watching these videos, if you don't think that kids belong in a strip bar, a topless bar, or even something like Hooters, American Cheerleaders, Twin Peaks, you know, the slew of restaurants with girls that either wear really short shorts, short skirts, tiny tops, then the kids definitely shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
This is far more interactive, far more involved, and quite disgusting, actually.
Yeah. And there have been some incidences of this happening in schools as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Daily Wire did an article. They did a good piece. I think this is, who is it by? Ben. Oh, he has a weird last name. His name's Ben Zisloft. I probably said that wrong. Ben, please don't get mad at me. You don't even listen to this podcast, but don't get mad at me. Basically, from what I'm reading from the article, these parents and taxpayers, they confronted the Hempfield School District in Pennsylvania. They confronted their school board members about a teacher who invited multiple drag queens into a high school last month without the parents' knowledge. And so there's also videos of this as well, which is super disturbing. And also to reminder that most of kids in high school are minors. And you still have to talk to parents about these kinds of things. If you want to go to a drag show on your own, one, I think that's super weird and it's super creepy.
But have a blast.
I guess so. But... if you, this feels like very purposeful indoctrination of like the question, here's the real question that I've been thinking about, like in preparation for this episode, was why did the left choose drag queens? Like, think about it. Like, out of all of the tactics that they used, why drag queens?
That's actually an excellent question, because I feel like they have better candidates for this.
It's so disturbing. Like, they're the most out there. Like, and this, by the way, this isn't even just happening in schools. We have Disney Plus that put out this drag queen show for kids. Okay, so if you're like, no, Jordan, this is only happening in some small areas like Pennsylvania and Dallas, big area. No, they're trying to do this through a streaming service that can reach everyone.
Mm.
And tell me, let me ask,
well, in America. I highly doubt that Disney Plus is streaming this in China.
Heck no, they're not. They're not streaming this in China. My question to you for parents is, are you monitoring what your kids are watching?
I doubt it.
Yeah. And so again, all right, Disney Plus. Disney used to be a safe place for your kids to watch stuff. Now it is not, because we have stuff like this. But my question has been, why the heck drag queens? And I think... maybe some of it, too, is there is a movement in America to feminize men. What better way to feminize men than a drag queen? A dude that dresses up as a chick. A very ugly chick, by the way. They don't look good as women.
Not doing females justice there.
They're really, really not. So maybe it is kind of just on this whole theme of trying to weaken men as a whole. I don't know if you have any ideas, Connor, but it was a question that I asked myself, and I didn't really get a great answer from myself.
At least on that idea, they've already kind of hit men in that area already with transgenderism and homosexuality to an extent, because basically if you are a man with any feminine tendencies now, or vice versa, a female with any masculine tendencies, they... what we see in the media today is just saying, well, you must be gay or you must be lesbian. And that's just the automatic response that they seem to have. I've seen it with multiple characters in animated shows. And it's, I'm talking specifically animation because that's usually more in the kids domain, at least the ones that I'm talking about, where you get like the strong female lead comes out, and just because she's strong and she's maybe got attitude and she takes the lead, maybe she's more impulsive, things that tend to be maybe a little bit more of a masculine trait, well, she can't be straight. And we've seen it time and time again at this point. And it doesn't really leave girls with a strong heroine type of role model, fictional albeit, but it's not creating that. And is as far as men go, if you do that, it does seem to be the case that whenever guys do have a feminine tendency, which is not the same as your gender being, it doesn't affect that. I don't understand why that all of a sudden these, I don't even know what you would call them. They're tendencies. You know, if you enjoy something that's more feminine or more masculine, it doesn't mean that you are the gender it's normally associated with.
Yeah.
We are
sure.
All on a range of personality types and,
well, that's what Jordan Peterson talks about a lot, is that you can have a different temperament. Like, there's some areas that I have that is more associated with being masculine than being feminine. And there are some areas of me that I'm incredibly feminine in. Mm-hmm. I think about you though, Connor, you're pretty male all around.
I'm pretty male. I mean, yeah. I don't know, maybe, you know, I can't even say cooking is even feminine or masculine. That is just a complete toss up for me. Traditionally though, cooking normally did belong more to women historically. Yeah, I love cooking. I'm the one that cooks in the house. But it's like, I enjoy it. But, you know, if you get into it and it's like, you look at like the greatest chefs of all time and most of them are men. And it's like, it's not uncommon to see in the professional sense, it's not uncommon to see men cooking as chefs. Like, it just, to me, it's a toss up.
I think women, when they get into the household and they have children, I think it's more of a role that you take on of, they cook more out of convenience, I think. Especially if, you know, the man's, this is, I feel like all the feminists get so mad, but when the man comes home from work, sorry, I should get closer.
Traditional
to the
family nucleus. Yes, this is how it's played out for quite a long time until what? Probably the invention of birth control.
Yeah. I'm not, and honestly, to a certain extent, like, I don't like, there can be misogyny in regards to those things,
yeah,
for
absolutely.
Sure. But I think you can reach a healthy place where it's like, I don't really have this issue. Like, I think it's weird now that women, we've created men that aren't quite as misogynistic, or they're not really misogynistic at all, and they just get all up in arms, like, oh, I have to serve him. God, you know, and they get so mad about it. And of course, if it's an abusive relationship, then they can get out of that. But if it's just like a normal thing of like, you know, hey, can you make me a sandwich or when I get home, or can you make me some food when I get home? They're like, oh gosh, I can't believe I have to do that. God. It's like, why don't you want to, like, he, in a healthy relationship, like, he should serve you and you serve him, and it kind of works out. But that's the thing with feminism too. I have a whole thing with that. And it
it's scenarios that I don't understand, and I've luckily I don't think I've come across it too much. I have on a few occasions where the man comes home and tells his wife or girlfriend, you know, I've been work all day, make me a sandwich, but, you know, or where's dinner, like, it's not ready yet, but they've got kids and dogs and you know, other pets and stuff, and she's been taking care of this stuff all day. It's just like, I've been working all day. It's like, well, so has she. Now get off your lazy butt and go help make dinner.
Yeah, that's the thing with, I think, men too, is that the thing that I don't think is right, where they come home and they think, well, my job is now done.
Yeah, no, I
it's
can't.
It's not how it
that.
Works.
No,
no, it's not done. But that doesn't mean, like, you know, if
your primary job being a father and a husband has you started back up.
Well, you know,
hope you enjoyed your break at work.
Well, I think too, you know, I know you hate it because you're like, that's not a meal, Jordan, but listen, I love my crock pot.
Wait, when did I say crock pot's not a meal?
You have said that. Oh my gosh, you have said that to me. So every time I'm like, I love my crock pot, you're like, oh, crock pot's not real cooking. Sorry, I made you sound like you're a really dumb male, but that's how I hear you when you talk, because I'm like, when it comes to the crock pot, because I love my crock pot so much. I have made some of my best meals.
It's incredibly useful
in
if you want
to.
Yeah, you just, it's, they all tend to taste kind of the same to me.
Maybe
not taste is the right word. Maybe texture is the right word, because everything, like, it's nice, you know, if you're cooking meat in it, you know, whether it's pork or beef or chicken, mm-hmm. like, it always comes out tender and moist. And I hope that there's people that cringe because they just can't take that word. But like, that is usually how it comes out.
Yeah.
Now, if you want something that's maybe like a crispy pork belly or something that's like really has a thick seasoning on the outside or has a nice seared crust. You don't get it with that.
Well, yeah.
That might be more what I'm picking on, but I mean, crock pot's a totally legitimate way to cook a meal.
Like,
especially if you're gone all day and you want to come back and you want it to be ready.
Or you can prep a casserole or something. Like, I've made some, like, very... Because I'm not as good of a cook as you are. Really, I'm not. I'm not as good of a cook. I can cook, but I have worked very hard. I feel like I've worked very hard, at least, to find recipes that are easy but delicious. Like, mm-hmm. I've made, like, a potato... egg skillet with a aioli.
Okay,
so good. It is so good. So it's, I'm not just for crock pots, I'm just for things that are easy. So
right,
I like crock pots. I'm a big fan, and that's when I think, yeah, you get into the groove of life, get out a crock pot. But there are some real crackheads happening, and we just got off a complete tangent there, but there are some fleet crackheads who want to sexualize your kids, and they're taking Pride Month as a way to do that. So yeah, not a big fan of sexualizing the kids. I feel like, honestly, we're running out of time. We should probably do a deeper dive into some of the mechanics of transgenderism, and what that looks like for kids, how they're being influenced to get into it. But this is a good kind of overall Pride Month thing.
I've got a few more minutes. I don't need to be, I mean, unless you got to get out of here.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I have to.
I'm good for another 10 to 15, and even then, I've still got to wait for somebody else to show up before I take off for the evening.
Okay.
But this is along the lines of transgenderism. And if you take a look at my screen here, I don't know if, have you seen this book before?
So this is my first reaction. I have never seen this book.
Okay. The book is Gender Queer, a memoir by Maya Kobabe. I don't want to mispronounce their name.
Wait, am I seeing the pronouns as E M ear?
Where are you looking at that? Yes. E M ear. E I R. I don't know what those are. But this is kind of what it comes down to for this book. This is something that I've been trying to look around for, because here's something that will frustrate me with anybody that claims anything. And this is one particular claim that conservatives have made. And they're like, these books are all in the schools. They're all in the schools. And I'm like, great. Can you list the books that are all in the schools that are like just pervading everything that these kids are being taught? And it's actually somewhat difficult to find any lists of them. This is one of those books, however.
Okay, so this one is a book that
has been introduced to schools. There is a state that's actually looking at, I think, banning it.
Yeah. So I guess we can take a look inside of it.
There's only so much we can look at, but I wanted to come over to some of the reviews because they do have some pictures from inside the book.
Well, let's take a look then.
Which, if I ever get this onto YouTube or anything else, I have to black bar them because they are not appropriate for anybody.
Okay.
Especially kids. But looking through here, you can find it pretty quick in some of the 1-star reviews for this book. We've got one reviewer who's giving it a 1-star with a screenshot of a page, asking, how is it helpful to have a brother illustrated encouraging a sister to taste her vaginal slime?
Can you click on the image?
Yes. Yep, we can pull that up right there.
when I finally got old enough to not be embarrassed talking about this stuff with my sister, and the sister says, it never really occurred to you to put something into your vagina, not even a finger. And then he says, it really didn't. So you've never tasted yourself, is what the sister says.
I'm guessing that this brother is transitioned from being an older sister.
So if I've used the wrong... I try to use the biological I don't pronouns.
Know. We're looking at a page that's out of context, but seeing the rest of the illustrations throughout this book, this is from the book.
Yeah.
I've actually considered buying this book used so as not to throw money back to the publisher. But just to have it so that I can take my own pictures of it and do my own review, I'm actually looking at getting it. I wouldn't give this to anybody.
Well, honestly. It literally, the last picture is of him. I think it's actually her, because you're right.
Yeah.
Where she has her finger up with her vagina slime. It's fairly disturbing. Glad I saw that.
Yep. So that's just kind of the beginning of it. And there's tons of people in here that absolutely love this book. One librarian has said that they would be okay with their 11-year-old son reading the book, and you know, just people going through it. Some of the ones that I really wanted to get to, though, is that they illustrate how to give oral sex between two guys.
Oh my gosh.
Full illustrations in these books. So guys, this is what I'm talking. This is what we are talking
Dude,
about.
You got to take that down. I can't look at that.
Yeah. This is what we're talking about when it comes to indoctrination of kids. I wouldn't be happy with this if it was a heterosexual couple trying out these different sexual positions or anything else. Like, it just, no, this is not for kids. I wouldn't give this to any kid under 16. And even after that, like, I would need to have a conversation. And I think furthermore, this is not for schools. This is not sex ed. I don't know. This is not sex ed. This is not teaching them about birth control and condoms and, you know, staying away from STDs and all of this stuff. That's not what this is basically porn illustrated for kids.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I had to have you take down that image. It was so disturbing.
And that's literally what we've looked at, two pages out of this book.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Wow, this person is this person is mentally disturbed. This is great. And they're like, you know what, I'm gonna make a kid's book that depicts oral sex. So yep. Great. Wonderful.
Yeah. A lot Glad of people were upset. This got, it did get pulled from a lot of, it got pulled from a lot of schools, and reading articles that the authors wrote saying they never thought that this would happen. Like, it was just supposed to be a memoir about their experiences. And I'm just like, really? You didn't think this would happen?
With that image, like, no duh, it was going to happen.
Yeah. It's like illustrated 50 Shades of Grey, you know? I don't understand why that would be considered acceptable on any level. And quite frankly, I don't even know if I'd consider it a college textbook. Like, this is more like, you feel the urge to explore. Yeah, you have, okay, the author has full rights to publish this book, but I don't, like, putting it in schools is beyond me.
Yeah.
If it's out there in the deep, dark corners of the library, along with, you know, some other really odd novels and stuff.
Well, it says on here that the reading age is 18 years and up.
Yeah. It wasn't given to 18 years and up, though.
I wouldn't even give this. I wouldn't even give this to my 18-year-old. Or I wouldn't read this book, and I am not 18.
I'm going to read it, but not because I'm interested
okay,
in it. I want to know what they're putting
in schools. I think I've seen enough, though. Like, that, I only need to see one page. That one page alone tells me that it should be banned.
Mm-hmm.
That one page, I don't have to read the entire thing to know that. I don't need to see, like, more mentally disturbing images from a woman. I don't know. I don't know who this is from, a person who is clearly a little bit mentally disturbed.
I can find them and we can
take.
It doesn't mean
we're gonna know.
We can take our best.
This person might have had a lot of.
We can take our best guess. And the thing is, like, I've got friends that...
Okay, so it is a... Well, okay, it makes sense because she's talking about herself. And so I think the character that looked like a boy was her.
Yeah.
So it is a woman.
Yeah, I'm assuming that is the case. But for any of you people out there...
She made these graphics, too. She's a cartoonist and an author. So, okay. Great. Well, this was fun. Glad we did this.
You are welcome. I'm going to come back with a full report and censored images for you. And also, I'm gonna be on the lookout for other books like this. So if anybody knows of any other books, again, this one was called Genderqueer, a Memoir by Maya Kobabi. If you guys know any other books like this, I am going to be doing some research and compiling books that are known, that have made their way into, they're known to have made their ways into schools. And especially anything under 18. This one is probably the most egregious form of indoctrination that I have seen. And you know, they took the Bible out of schools for less. So the fact that they get this stuff in there under the guise of sex ed, which inherently I think kind of has some of its own problems, but I would take that over this type of junk any day.
Agreed. Well, happy Pride. That concludes our little talk for Pride Month, and I'm sure we will be talking about more fun Pride stories throughout June. So I guess we'll just talk to you then.
Yeah, more to come.
All right, bye.